Empowerment Zone. Each week, psychic healer Bonnie Jean and Belle Salisbury interview guests who share with you cutting-edge manifesting techniques that empower you for success. The Empowerment Zone will guide you to being more conscious mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually so that you can ascend from fear to hope. The Empowerment Zone offers a combination of practical and metaphysical information that will keep you growing, learning, and mastering your destiny. We encourage you to get in line to ask your question or to receive a free psychic reading based on the topic. Please call 949-272-9578 now or post your questions in chat. Now let's join the Empowerment Zone.
Greetings. Welcome to Triangle Variety Radio Show, The Empowerment Zone. I want to thank you for taking your valuable time to tune in and listen to us today as we guide you and empower you to being the master of your destiny. My name is psychic healer Bonnie Jean, and I'm a master psychic and teacher. I'm a natural-born psychic who is professionally trained to read and move energy. My training started at the age of 6 through my mother, and I became professionally certified as a teacher. I have been experimenting with the universe and how it works consciously since the age of 13. I'm joined by my co-host, Belle Salisbury, who is a psychic medium and spiritual counselor. In addition to offering guidance to her clients, she has assisted in many murder and missing person cases, giving valued information to bring about resolve to unanswered questions by seeing through the eyes of the victim, often giving details of the event, description of the perpetrator's vehicle, and the location of the crime. Belle is the owner. I'm always going to call you Bella, Belle. How you doing tonight, Belle?
I'm doing great. Just don't call me late for dinner.
I know. Well, Belle, I was going to tell them about your online magazine, Bella Spree, which brings knowledge and inspiration to those who seek knowledge around spirituality and paranormal. And that's found at www.bellesprit.com. And Belle does also host a radio show called Live with Belle Salisbury on Fridays from 8 to 9 p.m., which brings education for the body, mind, and spirit. Well, folks, we have a really incredible show planned for you tonight, and it will help those people who feel that they are awakening to the world of spirit and may be afraid. We invite you to go ahead and call in now and get a free reading or ask questions. The call-in number is 949-272-9578, option 1, or you can join us through live chat. So, Belle, big hugs. Hello.
I'm doing so good. How are you?
You know, I am just great. I know. And the birds have been singing. They're making their nests. Yeah, all ready for the new ones. And we have a lot of people who are new to spirit, new to awakening and coming front to front with either hearing voices or seeing spirit. Now, so we want to talk about that tonight, and we really want to highlight for those people who are having negative experiences. Now, I got to be honest. I don't know about you, Belle, but I've been doing this since I was a child. I started seeing spirit when I was around 5 or 6 years old, and my mom started training me then. And I've never had experience that scared me to the point that I lost my faith. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. I met, if you will, my spirit guide when I was 5, and it wasn't a frightening experience. You know, it actually felt very peaceful and very comforting, and then it, you know, just pretty much stayed with me throughout my whole life. You know, of course, there's been other guides that have come in and left, but, you know, it was never a frightening or a scary thing, you know, unless it was, you know, a result of watching a scary movie that had demonic things in it or playing with the Ouija board. You know, that's when I began to have any scary experiences with him.
You know, that's funny because you won't catch me watching a scary movie. I'm the kind of person, no, I can't do it because and you'll agree, is we're so sensitive to energy and all of that fear and negativity gets projected from that movie screen into our universe, and it lowers our vibration in which they go, oh, look, there's someone that believes in us, so let's fuel that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we don't watch scary movies or anything evil-natured in our home as well, just because, you know, I feel like it invites that energy into your home. And so we don't allow that.
Right. That's one of the things that invite them in. But there's also, you know, there's also beings out there that are harmful. You know, we always try to say nothing can harm you from a spiritual perspective. And it's absolutely true. If your faith is in God, nothing can harm you. But they can definitely distract you. And I'm talking about beings that maybe are crazy voices, beings that are spirits that you're seeing for the first time, and then also about shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow people, I never knew anything about them. I moved to Florida about a year and a half ago, and I was dating a policeman, and he said, you know, geez, he was from up north too, and he said to me, you know, there's something down here called shadow people. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, I'll get 6 beings surrounding me at night, and they look like shadows, and they will try to attack him. And I was like, oh, okay, well, this is a cop who's had to kill people. You know, maybe some of it has to do with people that he's had shootouts with. Well, lo and behold, about 3 months after settling in here, I really started to see these shadows all around my room. And now, Belle, I'm sure that you practice prayer and ritual before you go into mode, and I practice prayer and ritual, you know, with calling in the angels and God. But these beings I've actually seen them attached to clients. You could almost call it purgatory. They're of a different dimension, but they are banned to the earth plane. They can never leave this earth. This is basically, they will, or areas will get vortexes, and they'll come through the vortexes. A couple weeks ago, I removed one from a client, and as I was talking to her, I said, you know, I see this nasty being, because it was all, when it gets in, it actually goes into your chakra and nests and simply feeds on you, and it will bring about all kinds of illness. Well, this woman had for 12 years problems walking and problems with her feet, and Nayla, came to me. We did a healing. We removed and I banished the entity, and I closed any vortexes, and she just called me again. It's been 3 weeks, and she's still pain-free and able to walk. So she developed an illness from this being, and so there are things out there that do attempt to harm, and they can drain on us. you know, and I think, Bell, don't you, you know of some beings in bodies, you know, because I'm talking beings out of bodies,
mm-hmm.
but you've had confrontations with people of the dark side that have tried to literally attack you.
I have. I had an experience, excuse me, from when I was at my shop. We had a young man who was working with us as a henna tattoo artist, and very handsome young man. I mean, he was just very drop-dead gorgeous, and beautiful deep voice, and I was in my office at one point, and I was working on an article that I was writing or something, and he came into my room, and he announced that, you know, he followed the dark side. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, that's your choice if that's what you choose to follow, but it's not what I choose. And he goes, really? You know, and then he said, well, what if I told you that my power was greater than yours? And I just kind of chuckled, and I said, again, that's your belief, you know, and that's okay, you know, and I'm not going to challenge you. And he goes, really? And then he kind of moved over to where he was standing behind me, and I immediately felt this darkness enveloping around me as if they were like trying to smother me. And I immediately knew what was happening, and I just jumped up out of my chair. I turned and I faced him, and I just simply said, you want to play? Do you really want to go there? Bring it. Bring it. And he just, his eyes got real big, and he just kind of looked at me like he was shocked, because I'm a very mild-mannered person. And he was shocked, and he just goes, okay. And he walked out of the room and never came back to my shop. And in the meantime, I had an associate that was sitting in the corner rocking chair, and she had both of her hands on the arm of the rocking chair, and she was frozen. And she goes, what just happened? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, Belle, I don't know what it was, but it filled this entire room. And she said, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. And she said, and then all of a sudden there was this break. And the guy couldn't even stay in the room. He had to leave. And I was, you know, of course, it didn't scare me, but it angered me somewhat that he would do that, you know, in my own place of business. And I just remember chuckling mm-hmm. and going, well, that'll teach them to mess with me, you know, me and my guides, because we had a guide in that particular shop that we called Czar. And he was like the big black Mr. Clean man. You know, he was just humongous.
Yes.
And he had that big ha, 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 ha laugh, you know. And I know that he came to, you know, to clear that man's energy, because it was very dark. And, of course, he never set foot back in my shop again. So good for him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that shows you, you know, I really look at the shadow people as they're beings without bodies. And,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, there's ghosts, there's lower level entities. But you actually met someone who was conscious and literally threw an attack and at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for anyone out there, one of the questions I get from clients is, has someone put a spell on me? Am I under attack? And, you know, there's a reason why when we say the word curse, if someone says, screw you, excuse me for my French, or any deeper profanity, they are in essence cursing you,
mm-hmm.
Because it's their thought and their words. And we'll talk about later how to remove those. But the thing is people have got to realize that if you're around people that throw out negative thoughts, you're being cursed all day, but it's whether you believe it and allow it to stick to you.
Exactly.
And that's so important, the sticking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
All right,
it's about being consciously aware of what's going on around you.
Yeah, because you had to literally fight him off. So, Belle, we're going to go ahead and take a quick station break, and we'll be back, and we'll talk about more of the techniques you use, the techniques I've had to use, and some situations that put us in contact with negative beings.
Psychic healer Bonnie Jean. Psychic healer Bonnie Jean is a master psychic who teaches psychic development and gives in-depth life-changing readings that are accurate and astounding. She is a medium, clairvoyant, clairaudient, channels, reads, and moves energy. Bonnie Jean remembers the day before she was born and is an author, a survivor of a near-death experience, and she has gone through a spontaneous Kundalini awakening. A session with Bonnie is empowering, and she gives you the tools to empower you during the session. Bonnie specializes in meditation for mental health disorders, including depression, anxiety, bipolar, and PTSD, in which she helps people to heal. Contact Bonnie at psychichealerbonniejean.com and book your psychic healing session today.
Well, welcome back. All righty. So we have two different types of attack, both conscious and unconscious. Now, Belle, have you done a lot of, in your travels, did you ever go to, like, military cemeteries where they're still enacting the battles?
I have. You know, I've been to Gettysburg, you know, and, of course, here in the South we have a lot of, you know, battlefields that carry a lot of that energy that repeat, you know, the same battles, you know, day in and day out. And
right.
A lot of times people report seeing these entities, you know, those spirits still, you know, braced in battle.
Now, do you ever, because quite honestly, I mean, I don't do a lot of treks into those areas. I, as an empath, I get overwhelmed. But I'm gonna talk to, you know, sometimes we can put ourselves in situations where we come into contact with dark entities. And when I say dark entities, maybe it's a shadow person or maybe it's something demonic. I'll never forget years ago, it was 2010, and I was starting and I was doing readings. I had left the corporate world and came back to doing readings. And one night I looked over my shoulder and I saw the devil standing there, and I'm like, oh, geez, I don't really want anything to do with him. And my belief had always been like, you know, the devil doesn't really exist. There isn't negativity. The second night, again, I look over my shoulder, and again, the devil's there. And then the third night, I'm like, well, I'm painting his fingernails, and I'm dressing him up in a diaper. What people have to understand is these guys feed on fear, you know,
absolutely.
And if we can do something to raise the vibration, make them laugh or make ourselves laugh, they can't stay. It's too high of a vibration. And if I'm correct, you raised your vibration when dealing with your negative attack.
I did. And there's many different ways in which to raise the vibration. Laughter, you know, you treated this as a humorous thing, so you began laughing at him because he looked foolish. Singing, hugging, prayer certainly raises the vibration. There's this, like I said, you know, putting flowers in your home, plants in your home, those things raise the vibrations, the vibrational energy of your home.
Okay, and crystals, of course.
Crystals. Scents, you know, burning your incense or your candles or, you know, as we were talking earlier, positive type movies, you know, movies that are uplifting and joyful and happiness, you know.
Right.
You stay away from that heavy energy stuff like sad movies or battles and wars and the things that are more popular on TV today.
the drama. Stay away from the drama.
Yeah, that's one way. And then, you know, for me, I've had some hard cases where I'll tell two quick stories. One time I had a friend of mine, he said to me, come on, I want to take you to an old haunted cemetery. I want you to walk around it. And I was a little trepidatious, but this is someone who I had known since I was 13, and I was like, okay, you know what, we've known each other 30 some odd years, I'll go ahead, I'll go to this cemetery, because I really don't like to go. We get there, and we're walking around, and there's no church on the property. Okay, and I'm like, all right, this place is a little freaky, and it's an old historic one in old historic Ellicott City. And lo and behold, I put my hand on a gravestone. I felt a zap of negative electricity go up and through my body like a shock. And I'm like, oh my God, I've just been hit. So we take off driving, and I'm looking for lamb's ear, which if anybody is an herbalist, lamb's ear will absorb negative energy. And I get home, and for 3 days, every time I try to go into meditation, I would see a satanic cult performing rituals in that cemetery. And come to find out, there was a local group there that was. But they were using the energy of the cemetery, and they were actually creating havoc there. But sometimes it's people who practice this dark side that if you don't know what you're walking into, you can get zapped. Hey, you know, just like you talked about feeling the dark energy around you, sometimes if you touch things, you might get a negative zap. And, you know, unexpectedly.
That's true. And see, I collect antiques. And one of the things that I'll do is when I'm looking at a prospective purchase, specifically, you know, furniture, I love the antique cabinets and buffets and stuff, is I'll put my hand on the furniture to feel, is it a sad energy? Is it a happy energy? Was this piece loved? You know, that sort of thing. And if I get a good feeling from it, then I'm interested in purchasing it. If I don't, then I walk away.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, am I correct? You've touched some items that were just surrounded in death. I'm getting that image as I'm talking to you, like you felt some historic pieces that were just coated in death.
I did a session one time for an antique store where people were invited to bring pieces in that they wanted me to connect to see what I could pick up on these each pieces. And this one woman brought in a pair of beautiful earrings that she had received that were belonged to her great aunt. And what was interesting was these earrings, you know, were only worn on special occasions. And the most recent that this earring was worn was at her funeral. You know, and so it did have that, you know, that energy of, you know, of death, you know. And then there's also what's known as mourning jewelry, where jewelry is fashioned out of the hair of the departed loved one. And they weave this hair into pictures or ornaments of jewelry and whatnot and be worn in remembrance of, you know, those individuals, you know, and those also will carry that strong energy of death or sadness.
Yes, and you know that energy can be cleared, and I want to be very, very particular with anybody that's listening. And if you're under any type of attack, I had a wise man once say to me, you know, to protect your soul, just say your prayers every night. And having gone through psychic attacks from beings without body and beings who were messing around with the dark side, you know, I always went to bed at night very comfortable that no matter what they did to me, I was going to God. My soul was fine. You know, there was nothing they could do that would hurt the core of me that mattered. But, you know, so going to church and having a spiritual practice and saying your prayers are something that will, you know, will help.
Right.
And what type of spiritual practices do you use to keep yourself clear? Because as a medium, you've assumed your seniority and spirits listen to you.
I'm a big one on prayer. You know, every morning I wake and I give a prayer of thanks, and every evening when I go to bed, I give a prayer of thanks for my experiences, be they good or bad ones. They're all about lessons, you know, and that's how we look at it.
Right.
You know, and I also use my Tibetan singing bowl, you know, to help clear the vibrations and the energy of my home. And it also raises the
right.
vibration. I'm a big person on incense and essential oils. I burn those in my home to raise the frequency, to raise the vibration. And as I said, it's all about what I choose to watch on TV that is uplifting and enlightening, you know. And it, so it's all about raising your vibration and keeping your vibrancy, your vibrational rate of frequency to a rate that is uplifting and positive.
Right. And you're super sensitive, so just even mm-hmm. a movie is going to bring it in.
It does.
Not everybody realizes that the more sensitive you are, the more your light shines, and they're like, oh, look, we can get their attention. We can communicate with them.
Right,
you
and then
so.
be mindful of the type of people that we surround ourselves with. You know the old saying, you are
mm-hmm.
the company you keep. If you're around people who are always, I call them the sad sacks, you know, oh, woe is me, life is terrible, you know, then that energy is we're like magnets. We're going to attract, it's going to stick to us. And so another way is to go through a regular routine of chakra cleansing to remove that
mm-hmm.
attached energy to you. You know, and change your friend if you can, you know, change your friends. If they're always are very negative, you know, limit the amount of time that you spend with them or protect yourself with that white light of protection before you have to be in their company.
Right. Yes. Oh, wow. You know, it's so important to you know, some places it's the land. Like down here, we have a lot of shadow people. People are, you know, sensitive souls, and they get around people who attract negative entities. A lot of times, I was doing a reading the other day, and I saw a dark entity in a woman, and I said to her, I said, do you unconsciously rage? And she's like, oh my gosh, yes. I don't even understand it. And I said, well, honey, let me move entity from you, because it's this entity that's making you rage. And we cleared the entity away. But a lot of times, entities will get a hold of us. And if we're not clearing and looking at our aura, then they get a foothold and they can change our personality and make us do things that maybe, if we're not diligent, can be harmful. And, you know, Belle, that's what I always tell people is, if a spirit tells you to do something bad or you feel bad, it's bad. If it's
mm-hmm.
telling you to do something good and you feel good, it's good. You know,
bottom
you have
line,
to go
yeah.
with that barometer. Yes.
Bottom line.
All right,
Belle. Yeah, and we also have to be very careful. Not everything that, you know, makes us feel bad is of the lower entity, you know, and so we have to also be mindful of our emotional, mental, spiritual place, you know, with how we perceive things that are going on around us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Belle, we're going to take a break for a station break right here. When we come back, we're going to introduce Lawrence Hyde, and we also have a caller on the line. So we're going to do both of those.
Reverend Belle Salisbury is an internationally recognized psychic medium known for her natural ability since childhood to see things that are going on around you and bring through messages from the spirit world. As a medium, Belle demonstrates her abilities by attuning herself to a higher frequency, along with help from those in the spirit world to bring messages from your loved ones. Belle Salisbury is able to cross the bridge between two worlds that allows her to see and communicate with your departed loved ones, helping to bring closure, resolve, and healing. As a psychic, Belle Salisbury offers readings for those seeking guidance, addressing your questions and concerns around your daily life with clarity and truth. Readings are available in person or by phone. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please call 910-229-3669. That's 910-229-3669. And please visit Belle at bellesalisbury.com to learn more about her services.
Great. Welcome back. Alrighty, the call-in number is 949-272-9578, and it's option one, or you can join us live through chat. Now, we have a very special guest with us tonight, and I'm honored to introduce to you Lawrence Hyde. Lawrence is a Reiki master practitioner and a teacher who blends insight from 20 years providing psychotherapy and addictions counseling with some 40 years of metaphysical living. Lawrence was born in Nebraska. He lives in Indiana with his beloved wife and high priestess, Neva. You know, Lawrence considers himself, when I asked him, what's your specialty, he considers himself a warrior slash healer because he's developed considerable skill in dealing with unwanted entities and the misuse of psychic ability and magic by persons. He's a medical intuitive and a healer, and he includes healing all four aspects of our being: physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. Lawrence is also the author of Ready for the Woo-Woo Stuff, a down-to-earth look at the metaphysical, which is available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And he also has two self-help recovery workbooks available. Lawrence, are you there?
I am, Bonnie Jean. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Hello. Well, thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure, believe me. Belle, it's nice to meet you.
Wonderful to meet you, too.
Yeah, well, you know, Lawrence, do you have more to add about the shadow people? Because I know that I've even gotten some information from you at times when I was dealing with them. Do you have more to add?
I agree that shadow people are extra-dimensional. I don't think they're supposed to be here, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. I don't think all of them have been exiled. I suspect some have. I think some of them deliberately come through, and that can be through vortices or just through weak spots in the veil, if you want to call it that. But they are extra-dimensional, and like so many of these entities, they seem to feed on negative emotions, fear, hopelessness, despair, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense to me. I agree.
Yeah.
So the thing about shadow people.
Oh.
I was going to say the thing about shadow people is they're extremely hard to pin down. This is in my experience. Other people may have different experiences, but they move incredibly quickly when they want to, and for that reason, they can be a little bit difficult to get rid of.
Now I have a question for you, Lawrence. A lot of people will tell me, I caught a shadow out of the corner of my eye. Is that necessarily a shadow person, or is it just them starting to raise the vibration to make a connection to a loved one or a spirit guide? How do we tell the difference?
Yes. And the way you tell the difference is how often it repeats, basically.
Mm-hmm.
An occasional glimpse of a shadow out of the corner of your eye could just be your intuitive senses coming online. It could be an optical trick, if you will, or mm-hmm. it could be a shadow person. But the only time it's likely to happen repeatedly and under the same circumstances, say in the same room at home, is if it's a shadow person.
Okay.
All
makes
right.
sense.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and take a caller. We have a caller on the line that has a question or wants a reading.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
Hello?
Hello,
Hi, Cynthia,
it's Cynthia.
How are you?
I'm great. This is
hey.
a perfect topic. You and I have done cleansing on the business I work at, and it was funny because last night I was having this dream that people were trying to kill me, and I never thought about I'm a touchy-feely person, empathic, et cetera, and so on, about furniture. That was great. And so as a Reiki master, I'm dumbfounded at this question as to even clean a piece of furniture if you wanted to buy it, or if you own, like I own my great-great-grandmother's breakfast wedding table, and it sits in a corner, and as much as I like it, I think it needs to be cleansed, and I never thought about that to this moment. But as Lauren was saying, how would you, because today I was sitting at work, and I kept having like these shadows, and this place is an old garage, and I don't know if any, if there is negative energy, but Bonnie and I worked really hard on trying to cleanse it to change the business and energy, and I've smudged it, and so I don't know what anybody's feeling is as to what else can be done, and then the answer of cleansing a piece of furniture.
Smudging and cleansing works great. Now, the problem is, from my perspective, is that we're on a fairly negative planet down here.
Yeah.
And smudging and cleansing is not a permanent solution. It's a temporary solution. It removes the negativity that's there, but it's not going to prevent the negativity that's around all of us from pressing in.
Mm.
So smudging and cleansing is something that can and should be done on a repeated basis. Now, it's also possible to set up permanent wards for a place of business or a home. Usually you're going to anchor those to some fairly substantial crystals, or Neva made some rune sticks one time that were extremely powerful, and I don't, that's her specialty, but I'll just mention that that's a possibility. And it takes a bit of work to bind all of the stones together, but once you've done that, they pretty much run on their own forever.
Okay. That sounds great.
Yeah.
With regard to,
well, Lawrence, what crystals do you recommend?
I like rose quartz myself.
Mm.
A property we had down in southwest Indiana, we had protected by basically a pentacle of double fist-sized rose quartz crystals, and it worked extremely well for a very long time.
Yeah, I love rose quartz. That's great.
Yeah.
They're not the only one. You could use amethyst as well. I just have a fondness for rose quartz, and it works extremely well.
Yeah, and that's a love stone, so that emits a high love frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Exactly.
Now, with regard to cleansing furniture, I recommend incense.
Mm-hmm.
Incense or sage, basically smudging it.
Generally,
for cleansing objects, it's under running water, bury it in earth, bury it in salt. Very few of those are practical for furniture. So I would draw on the element of air and smudge it.
Yeah, and as a Reiki practitioner, you know, just lay your hands on the furniture and send it that healing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'd do the smudging before I did the laying on of hands, though.
Absolutely, yeah. Smudge it, you know, cleanse it, bless it.
And Cynthia, in regards to the garage, what I'm seeing right now is because you have someone there who has a weakness in their body, these entities are coming in, and they are because there's illness, they're actually going, oh, well, that's a weak spot in the aura. Let me come in and, take some energy. And I'll definitely send some Reiki and do some healing for you tonight, honey. In regards to dreaming that you're dying, I get the feeling when I look at this that you're actually on the verge of a new awakening.
Okay.
I actually feel like there's something, it's like they're showing me, yeah, you're, a part of you is going to die, but what's going to be reborn is very symbolic. And it's really more about the rebirth. Does anybody else have anything about her dream?
Yeah, basically what this is telling me, Cindy, is that you're releasing old parts of self, you know, and that can have to do with old belief systems or old habits. It's just a representation of, as you said, new beginnings. You're just releasing older parts of self that aren't necessary to you anymore because we're always changing and growing.
Right.
So it's actually
it's like a very good
dream.
Thank you. I mean, when I was listening to the show, I was thinking about last night. It was like an hour. It felt like an hour and a half of being just someone was trying to kill me. I'm like, no, I won't die. But it reminds me of the death card in tarot, and it just means that this is the end of something and a beginning. And I'm going through this huge transformation on so many different levels that, thank you, this has just been so helpful in every way, shape, and form. Thank you.
And you also want to pay attention, Cindy, to where they're trying to attack you. Are they attacking you in the heart? Then this is a place that you want to focus on with where you're losing energy, such as has someone hurt you, and are you choosing to let go of this person? You know, it can be hurtful, and so that's where you're losing energy. And so it can be, you can look at it on a chakra level to see where exactly on my body am I being attacked, and take that as, you know, that particular location is where you're losing energy.
Right. Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling, hon.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Blessings. So Lauren, do the bad guys really target people who are just waking up to the unseen, or is that a myth?
Yes and yes. Let's put it that way. it does happen that somebody who's just waking up can run afoul of let's call them a black hat practitioner, okay, for lack of a better term. That's usually personal. There's some kind of interpersonal conflict there. They just don't like each other, for instance, or they've had some run-ins in the past. That happens a great deal less often than most people think it does, though. When I was coming up in the traditions, I was taught that someone waking up basically sends a psychic flare-up on the astral, and all these greedy black hat people are out there just waiting to pounce. What I found, though, over the years is that most of what seems to be that kind of an attack is actually a person's oversensitivity to the unusual feelings, sensations, thoughts, pictures, whatever they have as their intuitive abilities are coming online. Way back when, I was with a sort of a psychic or occult study group, and one night one of the women there claimed she felt some terribly dark energy, and it was just a matter of moments before almost everybody in the group said, I feel it too. And they were beginning to panic, thinking they were under attack, and then finally one of the senior members of the group did a protection ritual, and everybody calmed down. Well, I didn't feel a thing, nothing. Mm-hmm. What I felt was a lot of panic spreading from one person to the next, because we had all these rookies, if you will, who are not used to dealing with these kind of sensations, and they're not used to keeping their own thought and emotion projections under control. So it was kind of a mass contagion in that situation.
Ooh.
It just spread from one person to the other. And a lot of times what we think are targeted attacks, and they do happen, I absolutely agree they do, but a lot of times it's just an overreaction to something that we're just not used to.
Right, it's just a fear that takes over of something that we're unfamiliar with.
Exactly. And that's normal and it's natural, so people should not beat themselves up if that happens. It's kind of like if you've never exercised before and then you go to the gym and you work out hard, you're going to be sore and achy in places you didn't know you had before and really, really sensitive. It's the same thing as your intuitive abilities come online, however they choose to manifest. Things are going to be weird and you're going to be oversensitive for a while.
And one of the best things I always teach my students, Lawrence, is education. If you're having an experience, learn about it, educate yourself about it, And with education, it takes away the fear because now we have understanding.
Absolutely. You know, the more you understand, the better it is to integrate your experiences. That's just, it's just the same thing as school. We're in school right now. And what you learned in third grade should serve you in fourth grade and so forth. So the more you know, the easier it is to absorb and make sense of new experiences. Now, if somebody does think they might be under some kind of attack, a psychic shower is an excellent way of finding out. And by that I mean go take a shower, put your entire body under there, and as the water cascades down, focus your will and your intent to remove anything negative attached to you. Running water tends to ground out energies. And if you get out of the shower, well, you'd be cleaner for one thing, but after that, you're still feeling very uneasy, then I think you should consider the possibility that it might be intact.
Okay, we're going to take a station break real quick and then come back and pick up from there.
Because of you, families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Because all a family should worry about is helping their child live. Plus, St. Jude freely shares the discoveries made. So every child saved at St. Jude means thousands more children can be saved around the world and in your community. St. Jude won't stop until no child dies from cancer. You can help. Continue the St. Jude mission of finding cures that are saving children by donating today with your heart. Please be generous, for those children need your help to survive. Please take action now and go to stjude.org. Thank you from the Triangle Variety Radio Network team.
You know, what I love, Lawrence, is that you give practical techniques on how to deal with it. A psychic shower is a beautiful way, a body scan. Why do you think some people have a problem shielding, though? Why are some people impervious and then others, you know, seem to pick up and feel everything?
Well, a couple of reasons. One is that we vary in our sensitivity to these energies. It's no different than somebody being sensitive to certain smells, if you will. But the other thing, people generally have trouble with shielding because they lack confidence. You know, you mentioned earlier, or I think Bill did, that basically thought directs energy. But it doesn't do it very efficiently most of the time. If every single thought that people were thinking manifested, this would be utter chaos on this planet. So, to my way of thinking, moving energy, shaping it effectively, takes four things. One, your desire, what you want to accomplish. Second, your emotions, and those can and should include confidence and determination, because doubt is thought also, and doubt directs energy. So doubt will sabotage your efforts. Third is your intention, how you're going to shape this thing happening. And the last one is your will. You put all four of those together, then you can use thought to direct energy effectively. And where most people fall down in terms of shielding is doubt. It creeps in and it sabotages their effectiveness. They say, I just can't shield. Well, yes, they can. Basic shielding is very easy to do. If you put those four things together and make sure you have that determination and confidence in there, you'll shield, and you'll get better with practice. In fact, you can shield in a fraction of a second once you practice it enough. It's not complicated. Now, the flip side of that are empaths. Empaths are lousy at shielding, in my experience. And one of the reasons for that, I've been working with a lot of empaths recently, and one of the reasons for that is that a lot of empaths are used to using their abilities to reach out and sense what's around them as a way of keeping themselves safe. When they reach out, they actually create an energetic connection between themselves and the person that they're scanning. And with that connection, basically becomes an open conduit to all sorts of unwanted emotions. I found empaths have a lot of trouble shielding. And sometimes it's because they make a completely impervious shield, doesn't allow anything in or out, and they're head blind. They can't sense anything. And they're really, really, really not used to that. So they're uncomfortable. So they reach out through their own shield, and they break it. Now, the answer to that is to make a shield. Your shield is what you want it to be. It'll be whatever you decide it is and do whatever you decide it does. That's your thought-directing energy. So you can make a shield that will allow you to passively sense what's going on around you without having to reach out for it. You can also make a shield that will let you project small amounts of energy through it without breaking. But in my experience, it takes empaths a long time to learn that.
Practice, practice, practice.
Yes. But everything that we do is all thought energy, and it goes back to if we believe it's, you know, and I'm going to stop and I'm going to say something here. You know, I myself have gone through periods of being under quote-unquote attack, and I went from a very strong period where as an empath I could feel them, you know, 60 feet away from me to where my shield got so broken down from the constant dealing with the some of the negative entities that are associated with where I live and kind of making peace in my neighborhood, that my shield got broken down and I just had to keep going back and rebuilding it. And for me, I ended up, you know, was very strong into church to rebuild my shield. But, you know, we can get broken down and we can get tired and it can take a beating.
Oh, absolutely. And for the people who live in areas where the negativity is high or who seem to be under a lot of pressure from the people around them, I would recommend a talisman. A protective talisman is basically anything you want it to be. Now, that can be a cross, it can be a pentacle, it can be Thor's hammer, it can be a particular crystal or whatever. And that's where you use your desire, your emotion, your intent, and your will to charge it, not in an energetic sense, but to direct it to protect you, either to absorb or to repel negative energies. And then if you're using crystals, most of them will need to be in sunlight or moonlight or something else just to charge up. But it's really no different than wearing a blessed cross, if you will. And the thing that people who wear talismans forget is to cleanse them. They can only absorb so much before you have to get rid of it. It's like a box of baking soda in the refrigerator. You know, it's got its limits, is what it comes down to. So if you're wearing a pentacle or a cross, it might be, depending on how negative things are around you, it might be every 2 days, it might be once a week. Take it off. You can cleanse it by smudging. You have to put intent in smudging, though. You just can't light the smoke and let it waft over that. You have to have the intent that the smoke will remove the negativity and disperse it. You can hold under running water, do the same thing. It's kind of a psychic shower for your talisman. You can bury it in sea salt for a while, if it'll allow that. And then when it's done, recharge it and put it back on. And that way, you already have a line of defense, and it's going to take some of the stress off your shielding. And frankly, most people, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, forget the shield. We do it for a while, and then we forget about it. And we walk out, and we get whammied. It's human nature. So your talisman is a line of defense that hopefully will always be with you.
Yeah, and it can be anything that you put that intent into. So yeah. I really like that.
If you have an antique necklace, use that. If it's something you'll wear all the time or just about all the time. If you have a cross, use that. You know, it really doesn't make a difference. A lot of people like a piece of crystal of some kind around them. And I'm not as knowledgeable as I used to be on the various qualities of stone, so I won't make any recommendations, but I'm sure you ladies can.
Yeah, I've got a few there. Hey, Lawrence, how do you deal with cords? We make cords all the time. There's probably 100 cords coming out of our body if we're not clear, because we're cording. If people don't understand where your thoughts or your emotions go, there's actually a cord that goes to that item or that person. If you're going to get into your car, you're going to see yourself driving and you're going to create a cord into that car. If you're hanging out with your child, there's going to be a cord in your root chakra. So we have cords all the time, but how do we know if there's a problem and if other people, their attachments are causing a problem?
If you're feeling drained for no good reason, exhausted for no good reason, angry for no good reason, depressed for no good reason, there's a possibility that you're attached to somebody who is draining your energy or sending negative energy into you via these energetic cords. In other words, if it's out of character for you, take a hard look at it. And it has to be not just, you know, everybody has down moments during a day. I wouldn't worry about that. But if it's gotten to be a pattern, if it persists for a day or 2 days or 3 days and there's no reason for it, then it's time to start examining those cords. Now, as you pointed out, we all have cords. We continually make and maintain ones between us and our loved ones and our friends, for instance. The ones at the cars usually don't cause a problem unless the car is breaking down. Then we get upset. But we also have accidental cords. And some that are purposely created by people who mean us harm. There aren't that many people who do it consciously. Energy vampires do that. If you run across somebody who just literally sucks the life out of you and everybody else around you, you probably know an energy vampire. And the way they do that is by creating that energetic connection. Now, for a long time, I used and still do a rather complicated ritual to cut them. But Neva, bless her heart, is, let's say, more practical than I am. And she came up with a nifty way to get rid of cords. And that is you specify the negative or draining cords that may be attached to you. Those are the only ones you want this to touch. And then you imagine or visualize or sense, however you do it, because not everybody makes good pictures in their heads, fire coming up from the earth surrounding you and burning those cords right down to your skin. Let that go all the way over your head and clothes, and then bring it back down again. Just an incredibly hot, intense fire. Once you've burned the cords, call in the divine white light, or perhaps the healing ray, to fill in the gaps in your aura where those cords used to be. It takes about 5 seconds.
I like that. Now, have you ever dealt with implants?
I'm sorry, say that last word again.
Have you ever dealt with implants where beings who are maybe more extraterrestrial, they may implant energy into someone?
I've dealt with a lot of different kinds of energy that shouldn't be there. Now, could I specifically identify something as extraterrestrial in origin? No. If I've run across it, I've not identified it as such. So I won't lay any claim to expertise.
Okay, well, we're going to get ready here to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the ways that people can stay calm and centered, or some of the stones that can be used, protective stones for people who are just waking up.
Bella Spree is a free online magazine featuring columnists who are experts in their field. Bella Spree magazine covers topics about health and healing, spiritual growth, angels, inspiration, divination, and the paranormal. You can also receive guidance from our experts to your questions or follow your astrological and lunar forecast for the month ahead. Bella's Free Magazine is offered free online for your education and enjoyment at bellasfree.com. Bella's Free means beautiful spirit, and that represents each and every one of us. Their logo is the diamond because it represents the full soul quality. Like a diamond, each facet is unique, holding a beauty all its own. Each facet represents a different characteristic of who we are as individuals. And yet, when we look at the whole diamond, with its flaws and inclusions, we see the exquisiteness of the diamond in its entirety. The collective of the whole soul quality, demonstrating that even in its imperfections, it is still seen as beautiful. Bella's Free Magazine spreads love, truth, and awareness to the world, leading the diamond in the rough to healing and growing into the best diamond we are all meant to be. Visit Bella's Free at bellaspree.com. That's BELLESPRIT.com.
Great. Welcome back. I want to remind everybody that they can call in to get a free reading. The phone number is 949-272-9578, option one, or they can join us in chat. You know, Lawrence, I've read your book. I love how you give really practical ways to deal with energy. And it's all based on thought and belief. Now, are there any protective stones that you recommend for people who are just waking up besides, like, rose quartz? Is there any others?
If your abilities are out of control, in other words, you're getting bombarded by strange thoughts or unwanted feelings, go for something that will ground you. Hematite is excellent for that. What I've observed is that these grounding stones like hematite will basically suck your aura right down to your body. And a tight aura is really your first line of defense. In fact, I give instructions in the book on how to cinch your aura around you. So obsidian, galena, some other heavy metal type stones are excellent for that. In terms of psychic protection, like I said, it's been a long time since I've had a great deal to do with those. So I really can't. What's been your experience, or Belle?
I like Tiger's Eye. Tiger's Eye is a good protector stone. Black tourmaline, you know, any dark colored stone is going to be good for absorbing negative energies.
Yeah.
So
now one of the...
I was going to say, generally, the people who sell those things, if it's not just a gem and mineral show, but have a metaphysical bent, can steer you towards something that will work for you.
Mm-hmm. And it can be based on different situations. You know, just open up with what you're wanting a stone to do, so to speak. And any, you know, practitioner that is, you know, well-versed in stones can direct you to the right one for you.
Absolutely. And in fact, the stone should feel good to you when you hold your non-dominant hand over it or hold it in your non-dominant hand. My wife reminds me that jasper is a good protective stone.
Yes.
She's way more into stones now than I used to be very heavily, but it's been a couple of decades, so I've forgotten a lot. And obsidian as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Obsidian is an amazing psychic vacuum cleaner. I recommend... If anybody's dealing with shadow people, a couple of stones to deal with, or if they're dealing with any type of negative psychic entity, the black tourmaline with support is actually if there's someone sending ill wishing to you. Black tourmaline with quartz will actually return the curse to them with the karma for it. So they'll get a whack back. There's bloodstone, which is actually gives you the ability to banish these beings. So bloodstone is a wonderful one. If you use it with obsidian, obsidian is an amazing psychic vacuum cleaner. And then if you have cords, where Lawrence, at the very beginning you talked about sometimes there's issues to be worked out, one of the crystals that I recommend is petalite, because petalite will actually go up onto the karmic arena and end the karma between you and the person, and it will actually stop a lot of what is negatively happening. So I agree with all the dark stones, but also getting something, the black tourmaline with quartz will send it back if you're pretty sure that someone's doing something. Because, hey, some people do. You know, some people bake cake and some people throw negative energy. And some people throw love, you know. But there are crystals out there that can help.
I'd like to mention selenite.
Yes.
That's an amazing.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It is so good for clearing negative energy from your immediate area. And the neat thing about selenite is it's not a box of baking soda. It actually neutralizes, absorbs and neutralizes and transforms negative energy. You never have to clear it. Just get a little sunlight once in a while. So they make those in all kinds of shapes. I'm looking at a sort of a pillow shape right now, almost like a football, but a bit flatter, that sits on a table in our home. And as long as you get some sunlight once in a while, it's just fat and happy. So consider picking up a piece of selenite, particularly in office settings. It's great for office settings.
Nice. I have a crystal ball selenite that is huge. Yeah, huge, that I usually sit on my table.
Okay. There you go.
So he's fat, dumpy, and happy where he is.
Hey, can we go back just for a second? You
sure,
were talking about possible implants by ETs just before the break.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, my beloved wife jogged my elbow. We've run across a class of entity in the last few years. We're calling them riders, R-I-D-E-R-S. And they're at least, I think they're extra-dimensional. They could be extraterrestrial. I really don't know. I won't make any claims that way. But something like the dark entity that Bell talked about earlier, these don't attach to chakras. They actually attach to your entire nervous system. They basically fuse themselves to it. We've cleared riders.
That's the implants. And they can move you.
They can. And, again, they feed off the negative emotions. And people who have those typically have horrible lives, I'm sorry to say. They make incredibly poor decisions. They have incredibly unstable relationships. They're prone to depression, possibly psychotic breaks in some cases. We've seen that happen. And it's not impossible that they're the motivators for some of the increase in personal violence that we're seeing, some of the more outrageous things.
So how do we deal with these?
I have firsthand experience. I'd love to hear Lawrence's take on it, but mine went all to crystals and faith. So how did you, because I've had to remove them from myself and from other clients.
We kind of yanked them out and burned them, actually.
Okay.
I know that
yeah.
sounds terrible. But I don't think they're supposed to be here. And aside from maybe serving some purpose and turning us toward the light, they're not good for us at all. And I would rather, you know, the thing is, if you banish an entity, where do you banish it to? If they're locked on this side of the veil, where does it go? Well, I think it's released into the world to find somebody else. That's not a win in my book. So typically we will remove them, and it is possible to banish them to the other side of the veil, but it's a little tricky. So generally we just kind of vaporize them. And I think they pull themselves back together eventually, like over years or maybe decades. But in the meantime, they're not bothering anybody else.
Right.
Okay, right. I'm sorry, honey. I just was going to ask,
well,
if a person suspects that they're dealing with an implant, it's not something they can do themselves to take care of. They need to go see someone who has expertise in that area, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Unless they're pretty well skilled. I wasn't able to find anyone to help me. And there are several tektite crystals that I use, but I've got to be very honest. When I was going through it, and like I said, I have a client that has implants that we're working on. When I was going through the implant, Belle, how you know you have them, it actually feels like worms under your skin. It feels like your body is being moved and twitched, and it's uncontrollable. They take puppet-like control of you. They're constantly chattering, and tekkite is going to work. Black tourmaline with quartz, petalite is going to work, and then apophyllite is going to work, because you have to go through to each chakra, and you can use crystals to move them out, but tektite is an amazing, amazing crystal that will, when I found tektite, it was amazing in the amount of them that just came out of me. But I'm going to be 100% upfront with my spirituality. I was to the point of being driven crazy by these guys that I went back, and I went back to the Catholic Church, and I asked the Catholic Church to bless me. And I sat in the Catholic Church every day, and these implants could not withstand the power of the church. And every day I went to Mass, I took communion, and the more I did, the more they came out. So these are definitely evil. And, you know, the Catholic Church is renowned for exorcisms and moving spirits, that just by going there and sitting in the church, they would leave my body. So it wasn't just crystals, but the power for me of the Catholic Church was extremely strong, because and I, that's where I'm getting my client to go next, is to the church, because that's how I've had to remove them. So I couldn't really do it alone, as Lawrence said. You're absolutely correct, you know, but without knowing that Lawrence worked on those, I found myself going to church and it moved them out.
I think that you did exactly right. I think that the spiritual vibrations of the church, and I'm glad it was a good one, because not all of them are, unfortunately. And I don't mean in disrespect by that. Some just have very unhappy congregations, and those vibrations are picked up and held in itself. But I think that in terms of making it extremely uncomfortable for your implant or writer to be there, I think you did exactly right, and it probably weakened it. As you got stronger, it got.
I was told I killed it. You know.
Yeah.
So we're gonna jump off here real quick and take a break and come back and pick back up with this conversation.
Okay.
While cutting molding with a 12-inch dual compound miter saw, while holding a newborn baby in your arms, when face to face with a congregation of alligators, with the ball in your hands and the entire freaking season on the line,
There are a million places you'd never consider texting. So why would you do it while driving? NASCAR driver Casey Kane here, asking you to please stop the text, and together we can stop the wrecks.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stoptextstopwrecks.org.
There we go. We're back. So you were going to say, Lawrence, before I had to cut you off?
Writers are evil in human terms. They don't do us any good whatsoever, and they certainly don't have our welfare in mind. I don't think that they're necessarily satanic. I think that's a whole different class of it. Yeah. But the satanic ones, by and large, I leave to the church. They've been doing it for a couple of millennia now, and they're pretty good at it. But the other ones, the point I wanted to make earlier, there's almost nothing that can be done metaphysically that can't be undone by somebody with sufficient strength and skill. Okay, there's somebody out there besides Neva and I and one of our students who are dealing with these things and can remove them rather handily. So if you think you might have one of them, start asking around.
Do you take appointments? Do you take appointments? Do you and your wife work over the phone or Skype or take appointments?
We haven't. We could. I've removed these all over
okay.
the
country. Okay. Well, I need to really quick here. We had a contest today, and I wanted to announce Mary Sardisco. She guessed the correct number, which was 75. So Mary Sardisco has won
Yay.
A 30-minute reading. Yay!
Yay! I love you, Mary.
Yeah, so... yeah, how exciting. She got the right number. And there were a couple people that guessed 57 that had it backwards, so
mm-hmm.
they were getting the right numbers. Now, Lawrence, back to kind of wrap everything up, I know we're keeping you over longer than what we had originally had planned, but, hey, can you tell us what you recommend to get people centered and calm when they're feeling overwhelmed?
I recommend an exercise called the I Am Peace Breathing, and I don't even remember who I learned with. Well, actually, I do remember who I learned that from. It was Patrick O'Hara a long time ago. Who he learned it from, I have no idea. But it's extremely portable, and in terms of centering and grounding, having something you can do almost anywhere, almost anytime, is really important because you're not always at home, and you're not always alone. And if you're in your office and you need to get centered, you don't have time to put on your headphones and your favorite New Age music and stay cross-legged for a while. So anyway, the I Am Peace breathing, I can just walk you through it. That's probably the easiest way to explain it.
That would
be
great. Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
So for anybody who's listening, sit comfortably. And I'm going to recommend you close your eyes just so you don't have the visual stimuli to compete with. And to start out with, just take a really deep breath through your nose and blow it out. And do that one more time. Deep breath in and blow it out. Now what I want you to do is just follow your breathing. Just follow your breathing. Follow the air through your nose and down your throat and feel it warm your heart. Follow your breathing. Just breathe normally. But pay attention to the air every inch of the way as it moves through your nose and down your throat and feel it warm your heart. Do that one more time. Following the air every inch of the way, all the way down to your heart, and all the way back out again. And now as you breathe in, you say to yourself the words, I am, and breathe out, peace. follow your breathing. I am peace. Follow the air through your nose and down your throat and feel it warm in your heart. I am peace. Just follow your breathing. And if your mind wanders, just focus back on your breath for a moment. Breathing in, I am, and exhaling, peace. Peace. I am. Peace. And then just gradually let go of that and come on back.
That works.
Wonderful.
I didn't put you to sleep. Oh, good. Now, like I said, this is extremely portable. You can do it almost anywhere and almost any time. Please do not do it if you're driving, handling sharp objects, operating heavy machinery, or otherwise need to be alert. Okay? Other than that, you can do it walking down the hall at work. You can do it in a shopping mall. You can do it in a restaurant. You can do it at church. And with practice, you can get to the point where with a single repetition, your body and brain will begin to quiet. So practice is your friend.
Yeah, that is amazing because it is very calming.
And for those listening, you probably noticed that if only for a brief while your head got quiet while you're focusing on your breathing, when you're laying in bed and your thoughts are running around like a hamster in a squirrel cage and you can't shut them off, this is an excellent way of turning off that whirlwind and going to sleep.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you one more question here before we get ready to wrap it up. Lawrence, I want to go back to the implants. Why do you call them riders? I've never had a name for them, but it's interesting why you would choose that name. I'd like to hear.
When we see them, and I put "see" in quotation marks, okay, meaning we see them intuitively, they're literally fused to our central nervous system and all down the arms and legs. It's like they've gone inside us and they're just writing us, if you will. That fusion is what makes them so difficult most times to remove. And that's why the ordinary methods we might use to deal with entities doesn't work as well because they're inside of us. And I know that's scary as all get out. We pulled one out of a young lady. She was 28 at the time. Had been there for 14 years.
Wow.
And her life was absolute shambles. And as the day after we had done it, she was bright. She was cheerful. She was almost a different person. And we've seen this again and again in people who have been affected by these. The behavioral and psychological and emotional effects are profound. Now, sometimes people don't have writers. They have chemical imbalances or something else going on, okay? But we are seeing more and more of these, and we're not really sure why. So, in any event, that's why we call them writers. I see them as black. Now, you two both know very well that not everybody sees the same thing in their mind's eye or in their third eye or in their intuition. They can appear different to different people. We see them as black, and I think that is a reflection of their essential nature. They're not here for us in any positive way. So I think getting rid of them and not allowing them to reinfest somebody else is a really good idea.
Right.
Yeah, I've known them to be called hitchhikers.
So you're familiar with the implants?
I've heard them called hitchhikers. You know, but as you started to describe them, I'm like, well, that's hitchhikers. But I get it.
Different names for the same thing. So we've all had that kind of experience. Yeah.
Yeah. And let me tell you, when you live through it, they can make you insane. They can really try to take over in that way, and they thrive off of the craziness.
Yeah, a lot of people with rage issues have writers. And when that writer is in control, they're like a different person. Completely different person. It's quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, that's interesting, because when I had them really bad, they kept telling me to rage, and I'm like, y'all don't know me, but I don't rage. You know, that's like, you know, but having been doing this for all of my life, I knew what was good to listen to and what wasn't good to listen to. So, Lawrence, can you go ahead and give out your contact information so that if anybody's having any problems, they can give you a call? Can you give out your contact info? Because you do the whole gambit of clearing, from house clearing to physically clearing.
I think I would rather do that via email, Bonnie Jean, if that's okay.
Okay.
Sure. And the reason is the only phone that I have I use for work, so that would be awkward.
Ah. Yeah.
It is okay, my email address is LLWRITERGUY@hotmail.com. LLWRITERGUY@hotmail.com.
Okay. And they can also follow your blog.
They can. That is at Lawrence Hyde, it's LAWRENCEHYDE.com. And you might pick up something worth reading there. I don't know.
I love the book. I love the book. Well, Lawrence, it was such a pleasure having you here. And Belle, do you want to give out your new phone number?
I do, because I just realized last week that, oh my gosh, this is an old commercial that's giving out my old phone number. The new contact number is area code 910-248-6350.
Awesome. Well, Lawrence, I thank you for being here. It was a definite pleasure, and you helped me, you know, to understand some more about implants. And they are real, and if anybody's going through any type of rage or psychotic issues, it can be looked at to see if these riders or hitchhikers are in your body chakras and auras. So we're going to get ready to close up here, but Lawrence, I definitely thank you for being here. You're a wonderful guest with so much information, and give your beautiful wife a hug for us.
I will do that. Thank you so much for having me on. And, Belle, it was a pleasure.
Indeed. I've learned a lot from you. Thank you so much.
You.
All righty, folks. That's it for tonight. Please remember next week is going to be a special Belle and Bonnie show. And we've got a lot of fun things planned with some fun readings. So give us a call, and until next week, have a blessed week.
Thank you for tuning in to the Empowerment Zone. If you missed any portion of this program, be sure to listen to the repeat on Blog Talk Radio. If you have any questions, comments, or letters before next week's show, email us at bonnie-jean@trianglevarietyradio.com. Join the Empowerment Zone next week at this same time, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, U.S. time.